another episode of the Richard Lewis Show. I'm your host, Richard Lewis. In the background somewhere is Sam and a guest. Yes, a guest this episode. And we're not talking about gambling. We're leaving that in the past, right? Because no doubt it's going to come up again. There's going to be other people in the future. But we had some breaking news today, which was about this gentleman's organization, Splice. They've thrown together a crazy fucking team. A team that makes no fucking sense on paper. So Davey, who is the man that's here, he's come on to explain it and a whole lot more over the next hour or so. So Davey, first of all, mate, great to get you on the show. You're probably a player that not a lot of people know about because, first of all, you're Canadian, so you're naturally unassuming and constantly apologizing.
Am I Canadian?
Yeah, there you go. There it is. You had me fucking guessing that.
It's hard to tell for sure, but...
So you're Canadian, and of course, you've played in some kind of, you know, lower-level organizations. So you've had quite an interesting rise to the top, and I would say Splice are up there in NA right now. But this is the breaking news. Let's talk about the team that you've announced today. Just for everybody at home, tell me the players that you've picked up and why you've highlighted these particular players to play for Splice.
Yeah, sure. So we picked up Machine Gun from the Mongols. We picked up Crucial from Lowland Lions, and we picked up Acilian from the XSK team. The reason why we picked these players, like, we did, like, a really intense, like, interview process of players that we wanted to get. We watched, like, I don't know, I can't even tell you how many demos I've watched in the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks. Pretty much we decided on these players. Crucial is, like, an insane op talent. Like... Actually, just insane. Like, it's crazy how good this guy's going to be. Like, I'm telling you, he is going to be, like, one of the best players. Mixwell. Better. And Mixwell's great. Don't get me wrong. I love all those Optic guys. I'm all really close friends with them because they're a Canadian team, right? So, you know, we're all pretty good friends. Stanislaw is actually the first player I ever played Counter-Strike with, which is kind of an interesting thing not many people know.
That's a baptism of fire for anybody.
I know, right? So. But Crucial is insanely skilled. Machine Gun... Like, I don't know how many people know a lot about him. He's kind of been hyped in the Asian scene a lot.
Yeah, well, that's been the thing, right? Like, everyone's been hyping this guy, saying this guy is, like, a great natural talent. We were all expecting to see it when we thought the Mongols were going to be able to go to MLG, and they obviously weren't able to. They had visa problems.
And then we went exactly, and replaced them. So, yeah, it worked out pretty well for us. We decided to go with him. We watched tons of demos with him. We talked to him. And, like, a big thing for us is when we're talking to players, we want to see how motivated they are, right? Like, we want to see when we're talking to them, we ask you, like, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish with this team? Like, what do you feel like you haven't accomplished yet that you want to, right? All these things like that. And with him, it's like, we used to talk about this a lot, and it's still a big thing for the Brazilian teams, right? When they came to North America originally, they were playing for their livelihoods, right? Like, for me right now, if my career tanks, right, and I'm done, I start playing terrible, my team cuts me, all this shit happens, all this bad stuff happens, I can just, there's a university 5-10 minutes away that I can go to, right? And I can restart my life, right? Like, it's, and I'm still living where I'm living, I'm still with my, like, I still have everything. It's not as big of a thing for... The Brazilian guys, like, this is their life. This is, they moved across the, not really across the world, but, you know, far away from their homes to pursue this dream of theirs. And so they are so motivated. They put in so much effort to their job. And that's why they became as good as they are, from just so much work and so much effort that they weren't going to let anyone be better than them. Right. And with Machine Gun, it was the same thing. Like, this guy was like, I swear, obviously we're paying him pretty good. Like, don't get me wrong, but I swear he would have came for free. Like, if we didn't offer him any money and just said, look, come live here, we'll pay for you to live here, we'll pay for your food and you can just play, he would have done it. He was that motivated. He wanted to do this so bad, right? It's such a great opportunity for him that he was so motivated. He wants to win so bad. We know he's going to put so much effort into this team. And all of that, plus how much skill he has and his skill ceiling is so high, all those things together was just like... Him and Joey were the exact same. Crucial was the same way. When we asked him, like, hey, would you be interested in coming to North America, blah, blah, he was like, yes. Like, this is a dream of mine. You know, this is what I want to do with my life.
Are you ever worried that these players might just be saying that? Because, you know, hey, it's like, you know, like I've said, one of the things that's kind of happened naturally because of this growth of Counter-Strike is there's a lot of players that wouldn't ordinarily get salaries, good salaries, living salaries. Yeah. That can now, because everyone's looking to try and get a CS team to basically promote their organization. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, like, yeah, this is the dream. I totally want to play in NA. But obviously the reality is, like, you know, NA is a bit of a clusterfuck at the best of times. You ever a little bit worried, you know, picking up these dudes from overseas?
To be honest, no. Like, there were some players who we talked to where you could kind of tell that was their motivation, right? Like, just go to NA, get a nice paycheck.
Come on, you gotta tell me, man.
No, I'm not gonna tell you. I can't tell you who it was. Out of respect for those players and their orgs, I'm not gonna tell you the specific players, but there was definitely players. Yeah, after. We'll talk about it after. But where you could tell it was just like, yeah, I mean, if you give me 9K, I'll come, right? And it was just like, well, okay, well, fuck you too, you know? Like, that's just not something that we're interested in. We wanted players who really wanted to come and wanted to win. I'll tell you, Acilian from the XSK roster actually took a slight pay cut to come play.
Yeah, I was going to say, that dude just, like, wanted to get back in because me and Acilian talked actually after he left the old SK team. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, like, I was like having to be the in-game leader at times. Like, I never got to show my true level in that team. Like, and I know that my stock is at an all-time low. And it's like super similar to what happened to Pimp. You know, Pimp was in that Dignitas team. MSL's like, listen, motherfucker, you're AWPing. What the fuck? I ain't never done that. Well, you guess what? You're doing it.
Hey, I did that too, man. At the I was.
Yeah,
the
yeah, I remember. You did actually all right, though.
I did okay.
So, you know, Cillian was just desperate to get into a team, like, because he knew that the next move, it could be his last. You know, he might not get that opportunity again. So I'm super happy, actually, he fell on his feet. And it must have been pretty recent. That must have happened quite recently. Like, I know Garrett showed me talks with Machine Gun at, was it Gfinity?
Mm-hmm.
I think. And he said, like, you know,
no,
hey.
No, it wouldn't have been Gfinity. It would have been maybe the minor or major qualifier.
Yeah, maybe, actually. All these events blur into fucking one, you know?
Yeah, I know.
He showed me, and he's like, what do you think of this? This is what we're trying to set up. And I'm like, yeah, let's fucking... Yeah. That'd be baller if he made that happen. But the Acilian thing just happened recently, right?
Yeah, the Acilian thing did happen really recently. The original plan, so I will talk about just briefly, it really, really sucked to have to cut the players that we did. Like, I've been playing on the team with Jason R for over 2 years now, excluding like a month or two break here and there. For the most part, like 2.5 years, me and him have been playing on a team together, you know? And same with Abe. Abe is legitimately the nicest person you will ever meet in your entire life. Like, just the most legitimate, nice person ever. And they're both good players, and it really, really sucked to have to do that. Those guys are like family to me. They still are, you know?
Who,
like,
told them?
It was actually Arya who did it. He felt like... No, I talked to them after. Like, Arya felt like it was his responsibility as team captain to do the cutting, right? Like, that's what he felt like, it was his job to do that. So he did it. And then afterwards I talked to them, and we had our sort of, you know, goodbyes. And it was really sad, honestly. Like, I got really emotional about it, because those guys have been like family to me for Abe. I've been on a team with him for like 17 months now or something like that. Something crazy, like a long time. And so that was really tough to do. But after the last major qualifier where we went out, after going 1-3, it was really it was a decision that we felt like had to happen, right? We felt like, look, we're plateaued right now.
So where was the bottleneck then? Why? Because I always felt you guys, like, what frustrated me about Splice, and look, you know, I've always been straight with you guys about my opinion about the team, was that you literally would have these incredible results 1 minute and then the next. Like, so just when you would start to back Splice and be like, these guys are the real deal, they're going to step up, this is their time, you would then lose like some ridiculous game in ridiculous circumstances. And you'd
just, believe me, I know.
Yeah.
Like, we had an ongoing joke within the team that was like, in rounds when we'd be up like 2v5 or like, or 5v2 or whatever, we would just start saying to each other, all right, guys, let's find a way to lose this one. Like, and it was how, you know, how most teams say, like, all right, play safe now, no one push. We would just say, find a way to lose, because like, it was like the same thing, but we would say it in a way, like, almost as a joke, like, oh my God, we always fucking lose these, please just don't lose this now.
Yeah, if I say that we're going to lose, we won't lose.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, not, yeah, it was just like, we even coined it like class. Oh, that's a fucking classic splice round right there. You know, like we couldn't understand. Like we did put in effort and we were trying hard and we were motivated and we just for some reason we couldn't find consistency with that five. Right? Like we couldn't. There would be games where Days Abe would drop 35 fucking kills and then the next game he would have like 10 and then there'd be and it was just like. And it would happen with all of us, and we just couldn't find consistency within that team. Some days, Professor Chaos, I know you guys love to hate on Andrew, but honestly, he's such a smart guy, and there'd be days.
No, hey, look, I've heard that he's a great teammate.
He is.
I've heard
fantastic.
He's a smart guy, yeah, but you'll never sell me as a player.
You'll never do it. That's fine. There was days where Andrew was just a god of Counter-Strike. Like, he'd be flicking around, two-tapping everyone. You'd be like, oh, my God, Andrew! And he's just like, I don't know. And he's a really weird guy, but I love him. And anyways, so...
Well, yeah. he's the coach now, obviously.
Yeah, he's the coach now because he's honestly such a... So smart. He knows so much about the game. He knows how to play proper Counter-Strike. And, we definitely are going to, he's going to help us a lot as a coach.
As long as he doesn't start telling you how to do a fucking mouse setup, do your sensitivity setup and all that, then I think you're going to be okay.
He strategically lowered his sensitivity over the last few months. I think he's down to like 3 point something now. Like he's way down now.
He finally listened.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
He's played like that all his fucking career. Like, so.
Yeah, no, he's amazing.
So the team... To me, did have this potential. I did identify Professor Chaos as being an issue within the team. Like, I know obviously there were certain strategies you guys would employ, which would have me tearing my hair out. You know, like for example, on Inferno, you just sit in the house every round with the fucking Mag 7, and when he gets those two or three kills, it's brilliant because it does boost the economy. You can drop guns for people, but he was just doing it round after round after round. It's quite an easy strategy to kind of find out. I mean, you don't even necessarily need to be reliant on pushing apps all the time round after round. So it kind of felt like it was just frustrating to watch. And then, as you say, you would have stuff where it would be like, Aria, people were coming out, other pros, right, who's still with you, right? And they'd be like, this guy's the next fucking... This guy's going to be legit. He's one of the most rounded players in the US.
Yeah, he is, for sure.
And he would be up and down and all. So I could never tell which splice was going to turn up, like, ever.
We couldn't either, honestly. Like, it was – we tried for so long. Like I said, months and months and months to try to figure out the problems and work on it. And we tried mixing up everyone's roles. Like, I swear, when I – like, I was the lurker, then I was the entry fragger, then I was, like, the support player, then I was the opper, then I was back to lurking again. Like, we switched everyone around so much, and we tried everything, and then eventually got to a point where it's like, okay, we cannot try anything else, right? Like, the only thing we can do now is make changes. And we had talked to Marty, the owner of Splice, who's been just unbelievably awesome through this whole thing. You know, we go to him and we're like, look, Marty, we have to make changes. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, this is something that, needs to be done. We've tried, blah, blah, all this stuff. So what do you guys want to do, right? And so me and Aria and Marty, hours and hours and hours of Skype calls. And we're talking, and originally our plan was to, like, try some young players from North America, like really young players. Like, I'm talking 15, 16 year olds with really high potential. And we were going to try them out, and we gave one or two of them like a chance in scrims, and you could tell they were too nervous, right? Because like we went into the scrims like intentionally making them nervous, Because if you're going
to
bring a fort, well, you have to, because
you got to test them. Yeah, I get
exactly. If you're going to bring a 15 or 16 year old into your team, you have to know that they can play under pressure. Because if you throw them onto a stage and they're not and they can't play under pressure, then that's gonna ruin your team, right? So you go in there like intentionally putting pressure on them, like, yeah, man, like this is your one shot. Like, you have these three scrims here, Do your best, your job is to frag. If you don't frag, too bad. And like you say things like that, and it seems harsh and it seems really mean, right? But then there's players who will be like, okay, all right, I'm gonna frag now. And there's players who are like, oh shit, gotta frag, yeah. And those are the players you don't want. And we had found that.
Well, like Twist's over at TSM, right? Like, yeah. He's a guy who like just wasn't phased at all. Easily,
yeah,
the best.
Really
player
confident, really confident guy. Yeah. Yeah, really confident guy. I actually like him a lot. He's a really cool guy. So, exactly. And you have to put these players through those tests, and none of them passed it. So that idea sort of went out the window. And then we had been in talks with Machine Gun for months, like, because originally when Professor Chaos had went to coach originally months ago, we were going to get Shazam, and then he decided to go to Echo Fox, more money, better team in his eyes, all that stuff, fine, no hard feelings there.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was literally going to ask you that a little bit later down the ways, but while we're here, so Shazam leaving the team, it was just as simple as just money and obviously.
No, you'd have to ask him for his personal reasons. Well,
how did he break it to you guys? Because it seemed to be
honestly, I don't know.
What would you mean? You don't know? Like, did he not tell you? Did he just go?
Well, he was originally supposed to come to the Gfinity LAN with us.
Yeah,
and then he had signed with Echo Fox instead, and had let us know he was going with Echo Fox. So then Professor Chaos just played at the LAN. Like, it wasn't that big of a, like. Yeah, it sucked. We wanted him at the time. He would have been really good for our team, right? Yeah. He's exactly what we needed. We needed an opper. Arya didn't want to op anymore, and so. He would have been perfect for our team.
I was watching your ESL Pro Series games, I think it was. Yeah, it was, that he played for you at the time. I think you were actually winning games when he was in the team.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw you lose in the all too brief Shazam.
Honestly, who knows? Like, I don't even know. It's all a blur. It's all just a giant blur. Like, but I don't know.
Did he really? Was it just like, hey, guys, you know about that event? I'm probably not going to be there now. Was it like that, or...?
Yeah, but like it's not as bad as that makes it seem. Like none of us had hard feelings towards him at all. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like
it's still kind of short notice. Let's put it that way.
It was a bit short notice, but in the end, he has to make a decision that's best for his career, right? If he thinks Echo Fox is better for his career, that's a decision he has to make, right? Any of us would make that decision if we felt like it was better for our career. So. They're like totally understandable from his point of view. If he felt like if he was getting, I know he was getting more money. I know he thought it was a better team. He wanted to play in E-League. We didn't have the first E-League spot, the first season of E-League. We didn't have that. So all those things made complete sense for him to choose that. So like I said, no hard feelings. So then after that fell through, we had just played with Professor Chaos for that whole time because he was already on the team before. You know, it just made sense then to bring in somebody random and hope it all fits. And we knew we had the major qualifier like a month and a half later. So we were like, okay, we'll stick with this. And so we stuck with that through the major qualifier. And then when we didn't qualify, that's when we decided, okay, we need a whole new approach to this now, right? So that's when I started scouting European players a lot. And I had done tons of research on like 12 different European oppers at all different levels. Like, if I showed you my demo folder right now, you'd be like, holy fucking shit. Like,
so how come you're doing this?
Because I wanted to. Like, it wasn't like I got delegated work and I was like, fuck, all right, I'll watch the demos. It was like I really, really wanted to go through and be really meticulous about it and make sure that. And then I came up with a short list of like four that I decided, okay, these are the four we should go for, right? Okay. And then from there, I gave those names to Arya, and then me and him started scouting those four together. And Marty from Splice, the owner of Splice, super awesome guy, insanely helpful, just said to us, all right, look, I'm not a CSGO expert, so this is your team, right? You do the research, find the players you want, tell me who you want, and we'll make it happen. Right. And so that it's awesome to have the support of an organization like that when it's just like, all right, we need to make changes. We want to win. I'll put faith in you. I trust you to make the right decisions and do your research, get the right players, we will bring them in. Right.
Were you ever on the chopping block? Were you ever considered to be cut?
Not as far as I know. You have to ask someone else, but I doubt it. Honestly,
you never had that conversation where anyone like they came up to you and they were like, "Ah, oh, you know, Davey, it's you're right. This team, it's just not working. Change probably." And you're just there. Yeah, I really agree with that. I think we do need to make some changes. And like they mean you, and you mean them, and you just happen to win. You know.
I doubt it. I mean, maybe you'd have to ask the other guys what happened behind the scenes when I wasn't there, you know? Like I don't know, but I know from Splice's point of view, I never was. Because I had got offers from other North American teams, like top North American teams. Like, and whenever they would that would happen, they would approach Splice. Marty would come to me and tell me, like, look, man, you have this offer. They're offering to buy you out. Like, all this stuff. I'm going to set up a meeting for you and them, but we really want you to stay, right? And I'd go and I'd talk to them, and then I would go back and I'd talk to Marty, and in the end, I always ended up staying because I believed in Splice, and I really like this organization. I really like Marty as an owner, and I knew that with his support, he would always tell me, look, like, just give it a little bit of time. We'll bring in the players that we need, you know? And that's what happened. And overall, loyalty pays off in my eyes, and so there was one team who I actually would have left for that almost materialized, but didn't in the end. And I'm actually happy about that. So,
if I was to guess, Cloud Nine,
no.
All right.
All right. No, it'd be, you'd actually be surprised who it was.
So, a European team then.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say you'd be surprised.
You're so tight-lipped, dude.
Well, we can talk more after in private.
Yeah. Everyone
watching this is just so mad right now.
Yeah, like
they're just like, "Fuck you! You're such a tease, just sticking the tip in and not going." Yeah. Like,
Gotta give him some shaft.
I gave him a little bit of shaft, just not a whole lot.
Nah, it's definitely so far. But anyway, so you know, you put this team together. You've had the support, the organization to do it.
Yeah, it's
been awesome. So, I mean, what's kind of the plan from here on out? Because visas have got to be an issue, surely.
They're not as much of an issue as you think, because we can get P1s, which are relatively easy to get. Like, it costs a couple $1,000s, but. Obviously, that's not really my problem.
But I'm intrigued by this because you're saying they're relatively easy to get. I know, obviously, one of the big stumbling blocks we've got right now in esports is the visa issue, that everybody who wants to come abroad and live the American dream and play for American teams and, you know, earn fat stacks and everything, they're struggling to get any visas, let alone fucking P1s. But what, you guys are comfortable at this all?
I mean, I've already got mine accepted. Obviously, really easy for me being Canadian. It's really easy for me to get American work visas.
Yeah.
As far as we know, Machine Gun's visa got completed today. So, we started the process weeks ago.
This is the same Mongols team that obviously had issues getting them in time.
They were applying for travel visas, though.
Right.
Originally, it's a little bit different. So because he's going to be employed by Splice, and we have, and I think it helps a lot the fact that they have other players on the team whose visas have already been accepted. Like, because mine already got accepted, they can be like, look, he's the same, right? Yeah. Like, same player, same team, same everything, right? So yeah, as far as I know, visas aren't a problem.
You know, because I saw Complexity. Obviously, they got a couple of P1 visas for the UK boys. That they brought in, and again, this is like a big deal, you know, like the P1 visa. I don't know.
It's a big deal. It's awesome that you can do this.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping long may it continue. I don't know if it's going to get easier or harder actually as we move forward. I guess the election will have a lot to say about that. It's a crazy time.
What a terrible time to be moving to America. Hey, like, no, fuck.
I just thought this though. I think my timing's way fucking off, dude. Like, you know, I've been wanting to come out here for a long, long time, and I get out here. It's an interesting time.
The best time to be living in the U.S.
We're
gonna be heading there August 1st. So,
well, maybe
not great for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say the dust won't settle by then. There's still a long way to go. So, But yeah, so the visa is going to be all easy, apparently, and then what happens? So, I mean, are you guys going to be living in a house? What's the deal?
So, we have a house for August 1st. We're all going to be moving out. It's in the LA area, where all the other teams are, you know. Mostly the reason why we picked that area, though, obviously because all the other teams are there, but then also it's near Arya's house, and Arya has a wife and young daughter, so he can't live at the house. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, not many people know that. I don't think he'll mind me saying that.
No. That's good. That's good. That's awesome.
Yeah, so he has
a wife. It's good to see functional non-virgins in
this. Yeah. So he needs to be near them, obviously. So it's like 15 minutes. Like it's I don't know exactly with LA traffic all stuff, but it's within driving distance of Arya's house. So that was a big thing for us. And
what about you? Will you live in the house as well?
Yeah, I'll live in the house too. We were worried originally. Our biggest concern with getting machine gun, like there was a couple, right? With Crucial, he speaks English like insanely well. Oh, same thing with Asilian. Both of them speak English really, really well. It's not a problem at all. Machine Gun, he understands English really well. I don't even know how to say his name, by the way. Like, I'm going to, if I
Let's
say...
just call him Machine Gun.
I'm just going to call him Machine Gun because I don't even know how to pronounce his first name. We've asked him a couple times and it's way too hard. So, he understands English really well. Like, when you're talking to him, you can talk normally. You can say whatever you want. He understands everything perfectly well. He has trouble communicating his thoughts right now, though. Like, he has trouble putting sentences together. His grammar's not great. So that'll be a little bit of a change, obviously. We're going to be helping him a lot with learning how to speak English and all the proper slang and all kinds of stuff like that. And then the big thing we're worried about is like a big culture shock for him, you know, because it's going to be a huge culture shock for somebody coming from Mongolia to Los Angeles. Like, that's going to be a huge change.
You know, I got to be honest. Like, I mean, I consider myself quite a well-traveled and, you know, reasonably well-educated person. I know probably nothing about Mongolian culture outside
of...
I've been to a few Mongolian barbecues.
I've been to the Mongolian Grill here in Windsor. I've been to it a couple times. That's about it.
I know nothing about Mongolia.
I honestly don't either. So
didn't someone, who the fuck was it? Someone complained about them, the Mongols, because they had the Genghis Khan logo on the there. Back. Yeah. Didn't someone say something like, what was it? It was an American player. Shit, I can't remember who it was, but didn't someone complain saying that it's like having Adolf Hitler on the back if you were a German team or something?
What?
Someone said that.
Oh, whatever. Who gives a shit? Let fucking whiny nerds be whiny nerds.
No,
right?
But like, it's a player, though. That's the point, though. I'm sure it was a pro player.
I hope not.
No, do you know what? Why am I... I apologize if this is wrong, but my brain is telling me it was Semphis. It can't have been Semphis. Nah. He wouldn't say that. But I'm pretty sure, anyway.
I don't think so.
Whoever watches this one... It's just occurred
to me. Someone find it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought,
like, who cares? Like, that's like, that is their culture, right? Like, they're from Mongolia.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Genghis Khan.
That's your history, right? Like, yeah, exactly. Like, what are you gonna do?
There's no living relatives that are gonna remember the days that they're fucking rode in and over the wall and killed everybody, right? Like, so yeah, I thought that was funny. But yeah, I'm sure it'll settle in. I mean, it's not a million miles, is it? You know, everyone gets there in the end.
Yeah,
Koreans have been doing it for years.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be easy for him to settle, I don't think. Like, he will, and we're going to be, like, he's totally motivated. Like, it's crazy how motivated this guy is to do this, right? And we're going to help him a lot. Like, we're making him as comfortable as we can. You know, whatever he needs, we're like, Splice is insanely helpful with all of that for him. They're in constant contact, figuring out, like, everything. So he's being well taken care of. The big thing for him is he's going to have trouble communicating his thoughts, like on like a strat or something.
Yeah.
If he wants to say like, okay, I think this went wrong because of this and this and this, it's going to be kind of hard for him to communicate that originally. But he understands communication fine, and he can communicate fine. Like, he can be like, two here, three here, but you know, whatever. Like, oh, they're rushing here, flash for me. Like, you know, he can talk English fine. He's just more in-depth thoughts and sentences he's not great at yet.
So who's going to be the in-game leader? Like, how's that going
to Arya is the in-game leader.
So that's definitely – is that going to be his role moving forward?
That's the plan. I mean, you never – teams change roles all the time, right? Like look at look at Envious, look at Virtus Pro, like all those guys. Like, everyone changes.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, maybe Professor Chaos might be the caller and you might run as a five, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice. Like, but it's sort of – we like having our in-game leader in the game. Like, there's definitely positives and negatives to both, right? If your in-game leader is in the game, he can't focus on fragging as much, right? That's a big thing. But what we want our coach to do isn't always to in-game lead. Obviously, with Arya and Professor Chaos, they have a really good relationship. And if Professor Chaos thinks that we should do something, he'll just tell us. Like, and he'll just be like, look, you guys should do this round. Okay, you go here, you go here, you go here. And he can call whenever he wants, right? If he feels like there's a good strat we should run. But, like, for the default sort of, like, positions, Arya's going to be the in-game leader.
Mm. So we were talking in the build-up to the show about, like, you know, putting together this, like, international team, and you were like, you know what I love to talk about more than anything is dodgy organizations.
Yeah.
That's, oh, I love a good dodgy organization.
I
you know
like, you do.
It just they just bring something out in me. So I
they
get
bring
the,
out your inner hatred.
No, it's not even that. It's like, cause it's a lot of them are almost comedic.
It's
you
true.
Know, it's like. It's like they want to be a Bond villain, but they come out more like Dr. Evil, you know? Like, they can't even do bad properly.
Yeah.
You know? So, they're just pitiful creatures a lot of the time. But you said you had some dealings yourself getting this team together. So,
God, there were some things that are... I will. And so, we had two polar opposites when acquiring players. So, Acilian wasn't contracted, right? So, we just signed him. It was honestly the whole signing Acilian thing was really last minute, but I completely forgot to talk about that. Anyways,
Sam make a note of that point. Sam.
Totally noted.
There you go.
Getting me already said.
All right.
Right. Well, just make that point anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were signing Machine Gun, when we originally approached him, he was actually the first player that we got. We went to his org, the Mongols, right? We didn't even know how we were going to contact them, if it was an org, all this stuff. And from what we can tell, it's like they have like a manager, and he's like the owner of the org. Some pretty wealthy dude from Mongolia, I guess. He supports the team. They don't even have PCs in their houses. Like, Machine Gun doesn't even have a PC. Like, in his house at home, he has to go to, like, local internet cafes to play and stuff like that. I know, right? It's mind-blowing when we found this stuff out. It's like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And when we approached their org owner and we were like, hey, we're interested in buying out Machine Gun. You know, what's the deal with this? Is he contracted? All this stuff. And he was like, okay, here's the deal. How about you take two of my players, give two of them the opportunity, and you can have them for free, right? And we were like, oh, my God, like... thank you, but no thanks. You know, like we're just looking for the one guy right now. And he was like,
that's kind of sad though, dude.
I know.
That's like
know,
when you hear about, you know, like those like poor people that have to give their kids away. They know it's going to have like a better life. Like, take both, please. Like,
yeah, I know. It was pretty sad. And we were like, whoa, like this is a lot. And, so then we were like, no, like, I'm sorry. We're only interested in Machine Gun. You know, what are his contract, what's his buyout? And he was like, well, he doesn't have a buyout, but we can talk about it, right? And we were like, okay. We're like, so what are you looking for? And he's like, well, give me an offer, right? And we're like, okay, $1,000, right? Just like start off the bidding, you know, lowest $1,000, right? He said, okay, take him for free and donate that money to charity. And it was just like, okay, dude, like this is like in the nicest org owner you could ever have, right? This guy, he was just like, all right, this is a great opportunity for my player. He gets to go move across the world. He gets to live his dream. You can have him for free, pretty much is what he said, right? Just take him. And we were like, okay, awesome. Then when we were trying to sign Crucial, the exact fucking opposite, right?
Lowland Lions.
Oh, man. So first of all...
the classic,
yeah, so I approached their manager. And this is after I had talked to Crucial already. Because when you're like... because if like we found out early on, we tried to do everything super professional, and honestly, I was going behind Marty's back a bit doing this. I was just messaging players. I was just like, look, are you interested, right? Which goes against their contracts, all that stuff. But you have to do that. You have to gauge interest just to see if they'd even be interested at all in coming, right? Especially when it's moving to another continent. So I had asked Joey, and I was like, look, like, are you interested in coming? Would you want to do this? He was like, yes, I want to do this. Let's make this happen. Let's figure this out. So I said, okay. So I messaged their manager, right? And Marty had put me in charge of dealing with all of this, you know? And I wanted to be in charge of dealing with all this. Like, I wanted to do this myself. And so I had approached their manager, and I was like, hey, we're interested in buying out Crucial. You know, what are his contract details? What's his buyout at? Blah, blah. And all he said was, he's contracted. I won't discuss business stuff with a player. And I was just like, okay, like exactly right. I was just like, all right. Yeah, I was like, all right, man, like, you're really tough, like, good for you. Like, so I was just like, well, okay, I can message the owner of Splice right now, but he's put me in charge of this, so if you want, you can wait for him to come on Skype and then he'll tell you to talk to me, so you can do that if you want, or we can just talk about this now. And he was like, okay, well, we can talk about this now. So all of a sudden, this big tough guy is all for talking to a player now, was like, all right, this is what a waste of time that 20 minutes was. So
what did you say this guy's name was again?
I couldn't even fucking tell you. The man, whoever. No, I legitimately don't remember who the manager's name was. Like, I think I have him on Steam, maybe, but I honestly don't know.
You keep going. Let me check that. In fact, Sam, this is where you get to earn your money. Me and Davey are gonna talk. You find out this guy's name.
Cause I already told you.
No. But is it though? I need to be 100% sure before we get into that.
Well, that's the team's. Is it the team's coach or the team's manager?
The manager, not the coach.
Ah, there you go.
Are you guys talking about Neil?
Yeah.
Neil's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah, Neil's a cool guy.
That's why we were like,
Yeah. No, not him. Not him. Right, it was one of their managers. Good. And so then I had talked with him, and me and him were going like back and forth on the price range, right? And originally offered the same we offered for Machine Gun, right? To a player who was not making anything close to a livable salary. Like, you could say he was making a salary, but out of respect, I'm not going to tell you how much those players are making, right? Because that's not fair.
Their whole team. I do anyway.
Yeah.
I've got an exact figure if you want it in the chat.
Okay, yeah. You can tell me.
Yeah. So, like, not even anywhere close to a living salary, less than a month into their contract, right? Like, less than a month into their contract, and we're offering $1,000 buyout. So he's already made money on him, right, at that point. And he's asking for ludicrous amounts of buyout money because he signed a contract that doesn't have a buyout in it, right? And I cannot stress enough, new pro players coming into the scene, do not sign a contract without a buyout in it. You have to have a set minimum buyout in your contract so that no matter what, you can get out. Make sure it's a fair number. Like, don't sign a fucking contract with like a 100K buyout when you're making 500 euros a month, right? That's just fucking retarded.
It just while we're here, man. Like, I don't know about you, but some of the contracts I see in CS when it comes to buyout, they literally treat fucking players like, you know, prize cattle.
Yeah.
Like, and I bring you in, and you know, $100,000 buyouts for players that don't even make $12,000 a year.
I know. It's absolutely ludicrous. But I know where they're coming from because my first contract, I did that too. It was like, fuck, someone's going to pay me to play Counter-Strike? Fuck yeah, but I'll sign this. 1 year contract, no buyout, right? Like all the stupid shit that all the new players are doing. So any new semi-pro players who are thinking about signing a contract, even my friend right now, who I know who's he's starting his stream, he just got partnered, all this stuff. He signed a contract with like a stream team, you know, not even a pro CSGO team. He signed a 1 year contract with them, doesn't even get paid, no buyout. He wants to do some sort of sponsorship deal on the side. They're like, no, you can't. And he's like, what the fuck? And they can like fine him like 20 grand if he does it, but there's no buyout, so he can't get out of it. It's just fucked. Yeah. The whole thing. And people, and this whole industry is so new that no one even knows.
Good thing is, if you do get to a credible lawyer, what you'll find is a lot of these contracts that don't have these buyouts, don't have exit clauses, and pay below market salaries, a lot of them are fucking unenforceable, actually.
Well, like, see, that's okay. So that's where I'm moving.
Sorry. Yeah, back to the crucial.
Yeah. So we had offered, we ended up offering, like, I think it was $2,500 to buy him out, which is like the highest we were willing to pay, right? Like, we were just like at the time, we were like, $2,500, this is more than fair for this amateur player, you know, who's not playing in any pro leagues, not even playing in any semi, like, I guess you could say semi pro, he's kind of getting paid, like, totally fair buyout, right? Yeah, like, absolutely. Completely fair. And they're like, no, 10K. And we're just like, no, like, this is ridiculous. Like, you're being absolutely ridiculous about this, right? Mm-hmm. And he is like super stressed out about it. He's like, fuck, like, is this not going to happen? Is this not going to, like, he wanted to come so bad, right? And there's like, this might not happen now because, like, we're not willing to pay $10,000 for your buyout, right? Like, we're just not willing to do that. And so I won't tell you what the finally agreed fee was because I think there's things I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm guessing, what, did you have to go above?
We had to go above the $2,500. And it was a process. Like, there was – so in his contract – it had gone back and forth between lawyers and between the team. So I had heard about it, and because they had hired a lawyer, we had a lawyer. It was all this shit, and his contract had nothing to stop him from leaving. Like, you know how in most contracts there's something like, if the player wants to terminate this contract, they can terminate it because of this, 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 and this, right? There was nothing like that in the contract. And under American law and under Dutch law, he could have just left the contract. There was nothing in the contract that's saying this is the penalty for leaving, right? But because of the, where their contract was made in Belgium, Belgian law is different than American and Dutch law. And there, you don't have there, even if there's no fee for leaving the contract, you can't leave it legally. So because it was Belgian law and that's where their company is located out of and that's all this stuff, he couldn't leave. So we ended up having to pay way more than what was fair. And it ended up being a drawn out process over like 2 weeks when it should have just been done in like a night or two.
And the thing is as well, though, right, like...
It caused so much stress for, for Joey, it's just so unnecessary.
And it just also shows, like, just absolute zero fucking respect for the player that you're with. Yeah. Like, you know, players are going to move on eventually. I'm not saying that you've got to, you know, you're right, you don't have to do stuff that's to the detriment of the organization. But you obviously don't value this player very highly. That's reflected in the pittance that you're paying him.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. So if you valued the player and you wanted to keep them, you would up the money, okay? Yeah. But now that they want to leave, you're, like, going to negotiate some fucking buyout that is so above market value for a player of that capability. It's like, dude, it just sucks so much. Like, and I'd be fucking stressed
now,
out.
Now, we paid it because we're confident that in the future he'll be worth that and more, right?
So no doubt, right?
We had decided that it was worth paying. You know, we had talked about it with Marty and we had decided that this was worth paying. So we did it, but it was still way more than what it should have been. And that was only because it was honestly because I was like, no, Marty, like I want him on my team. Like, we need this guy on the team. He is going to be an incredible player with some time and some LAN experience. Like, trust me. And so we decided that it was worth it and we pulled the trigger on it, but it was like such a mess to go through and so unnecessary. Like, even with me, when teams were coming to approach me, Marty was like, look, if you want to leave, like, I'm not going to stop. Like, we'll agree on a fair buyout. Believe me, this will get done. If you want to leave, my job is to make you want to stay, right? That's my job. If you want to leave, I'm not going to stop you, right? I have no interest in forcing you to stay under contract where you don't want to be. Right. Yeah. And so that is the respect that should happen in esports. And in turn, I've given that respect back. Right. And I've been loyal to this team and this organization. And I feel like that is how things should go. Like, there should be mutual respect between the org and the players.
Well, yeah,
and there just isn't that right now. In so many situations, there just isn't that.
There was a bunch of teams in that region that like came along and have had like very dubious histories, you know. Lowland Lions is one. The other was Absolute Legends. I don't know if you remember those guys, but they just fucking scammed a bunch of fucking teams out of money. You know, they would pick, they picked up a League of Legends team over in like Singapore or something, and then like just, you know, they did well at like some fucking ESL event, like back in the day, like placed third or something. Yeah, they never got that money. Like, it just, you know,
that's ridiculous.
It's just so fucked up, dude. Like, there's this, like, there's these organizations that they look like they're legit. They smell like they're legit. They've got all the trappings. They go, look at the shiny logo. They look plausible. But then when it actually comes to functioning, they are just bullshit. And, you know, Lowland Lions.
So many.
Like, yeah, I'll say this. They're not out some fucking... One of the losers that runs that organization will fucking end up catching this and be like, I dare Richard Lewis say this. We're going to sue. Like, fuck you. I can say what the fuck I want. My opinion of your organization is it fucking stinks. You underpay your players. You have done for fucking years. And you run game on any organization that comes and tries to fucking parachute those players out of the shit environment that you put them in. So fuck you, Lowland Lions there. I don't give a fuck. Like, come for me. I'll see.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. But
I will. I'll say you do your thing.
You do your thing. But
thing is as well, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm not going to do it now because obviously it's your time and we're here to talk about you and your team. But I'm pretty sure, like, if I was to go into my fucking black box of stories and stuff that I've been working on down the years, I'm pretty sure I could pull some fucking Lowland Lion shit out of there. So definitely fuck them in the face. But anyway, so you've got past that now. Crucial's going to be out there. Yep. You've got this pretty fly and slick looking team. So now I got to ask you the incredibly dull question, the one that gets talked about all the fucking time, dog. And that is, like, why is it that NA are picking up these semi-pro players from other regions, players that don't have pro experience, and yet you're all talking about them like they're just going to come in and take over your scene and elevate your team to the next level? What the fuck is happening?
So first of all, I don't think that there's any higher skill level. Like, any, like, just like, if you're born in Europe, you have more skill. It's not like that. I don't think that we could have picked up players of similar skill level. Like, Justin was a free agent, right, from Energy. Incredibly skilled player. I couldn't believe when they cut him, honestly. He was probably the best rifler on
the
team.
Monster, brother.
I played on a team with him. I played on teams with him. Like, and he's had his attitude problems, I guess, but overall, like, I would take him on my team if I could. Right, like, he was definitely someone we were talking to about joining, and it just, we decided on these three players instead. I think the big thing is you can pick up a North American Premier player. Like, we did our scouting through NA Premier. There was a couple players who we considered for sure, even some in Maine that looked like they might be really high skilled that we want to try. But overall, like, NA players like that have this. If you bring an NA main player who's just shitting on North American main divisions, right? And then you bring him onto a pro team, his ego, which was already here, goes to here, you know? Like, because he's like, yeah, I've been shitting on main and now I get to go play pro. Yeah, fuck yeah, I'm sick, right? Yeah. And it's just like, and their egos go crazy high and then their work ethic goes down because they're not, because they've been playing main, working really hard to get to pro. And then once they get there, they're like, yes, I got my opportunity. Ego's flying high and their work ethic goes down. That is what happens with all these. Not all of them, I guess, but
well, yeah, someone quite like Stewie 2K, for example, would probably disprove
exactly,
the,
right?
The trend.
Exactly, right? Stewie's a really smart player too. Like, he gets a
which is incredible because whenever I hear him talk, I think
he's just some huge troll, man. Like,
mate, he's never gonna. We're not splitting the fucking atom anytime soon. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but hey, fuck it though. Like you say, he's really grown and developed as a player. So there's proof that NA players can do it. But the point still stands.
The point stands is the work ethic.
Is that literally what it boils down to with these
that
guys?
That is what it boils down to, 100%. That is what it boils down to, is work ethic. Like, you know, Asilian's taking a pay cut to come here because he believes in the players that we had and he wants to put in the work to make this team great. Crucial, insane work ethic. Like, just crazy, crazy, crazy hard worker, high talent, anything you want on a team. Machine Gun, playing for his livelihood, right? It does not get higher work ethic than that, to the point where you are playing to like, I don't want to say play to survive, because that's like going way too far, because obviously, you know, but he is playing for the opportunity of a lifetime for him. Like, I don't know enough about Mongolia to talk so much about this, but I can imagine it's a lot easier. I can imagine he's making more money now playing on this team than he would have been making in a full-time career in Mongolia. I'm guessing, right? I don't know for sure, but I can imagine that's the case. I know it's not exactly a super advanced technological country. He doesn't even have a PC in his house. You know what I mean? Like, so this is, he's playing for the opportunity of a lifetime. And so for him, this is an insane big deal. He's going to be putting in so much work and so much effort, where if you pick up a North American player, they're not, historically, they're not going to put in that effort. They're not going to care. They're going to think they're better than they are. And when you bring in players like this who have to prove how good they are, it's something completely different.
So you talked about how you guys aren't in E-League and you've got this new look team coming together. It's all going to have visas and it's all going to be above board and everything else. So where are you guys going to be looking to kind of ply your trade? And is there like an aim to try and get into E-League? Like, look, I'll be honest, I work at Turner Sports. I don't even know what our plans are in terms of league expansion or relegations, or how, like, are we going to freshen things up? Are we going to keep the same teams? Is it going to be like a franchise model? Like, honestly, it's been as much of a learning curve for us collectively. You know, there's been a lot of things that have come up that we obviously have to pay mind to. And I know there's one situation that'll definitely stick out more than others. But yeah, you know, we're learning as much as it is as well. But I mean, like, obviously, let's say, you know, if you guys weren't in E-League, there's still obviously some very fine leagues out there with lots of money available. So where would you guys likely to be, you know, playing?
Well, the only thing guaranteed right now, 100%, is ESL Pro League. We have that ESL Pro League spot. That's locked in for sure. Mm-hmm. As far as E-League and ECS go, we're pretty confident in being able to qualify for ECS. Like, we're going to play in the qualifiers for ECS. We're sure we can qualify for that. And if we don't, that'd be like a big failure for us. As far as E-League goes, like you said, no one really knows for sure what's going on in the next season. Like, people are saying things. People are like, yeah, you know, this and this and this and this. And, oh, yeah, we're going to add these teams and remove these teams, blah, blah, all stuff. But no one actually knows, right? Like you said, maybe someone does. But if someone does know, they're not telling us. So hopefully we'll be in the next season of E-League. But, you know, all you can do is hope. And if they have promotions, relegations, hopefully we can play in the promotions, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think ECS as well, though. Like, they just announced their second season and stuff today. And they were saying, like, teams that obviously get in that league get equity, you know? And I don't know really if you guys have sort of been in that consideration, because I'm trying to remember how it went down in the qualifiers, right? That was when the whole Obey Trifecta thing happened, and it was Selfless and Splice and Obey Trifecta and Echo Fox.
Yeah, we had lost to Echo Fox that game. That Echo Fox game, so there was a couple things that happened in that Echo Fox game. So Face It in North America is, at that time, I'm sure it's better now, but at that time, they had like two server locations, and that was it. And the one that we usually played, we couldn't play. And so Arya was playing with 110 ping the whole time. And then on the last map, the score was 14-13. It's a 3v3. I'm flanking three of them, and my internet goes out. And it's just like, and then we lose that round and we lose the map. And it's just like, well, what can you do, right? Like, it's just like, that's why we don't. I mean, obviously there was four maps before that where we could have won it, right? But just to lose on the fifth map, like, it's a best of five, fifth map, lose like that. It was just like, fuck, man, like, this is such bullshit. So that's why we didn't get into the first season. But like I said, there was four maps before that where we could have won. So it's not really an excuse. It's just sort of, it fucking sucked.
But I mean, like, the one thing I will say about FACE is they have been pretty communicative. They've talked to a lot of organizations about, look, you know, we definitely want to get you guys in here, or these are the dates. You know, they've been very accessible and approachable. You know, that was a point that Ryu from Selfless made, that, you know, he's now having those conversations, and people who haven't got invites shouldn't be, you know, salty or bitter about it all. You've got to you've got to network and you've got to hustle. So, I mean, yeah, I think Splice is a brand now. It's getting to that stage where you've got some pretty, you know, decent-sized sponsors. You have a decent-sized organization. You've obviously got money because you're buying extortionate buyouts from Lowland Lions and importing players from fucking Mongolia. This is like exotic high-level sport shit, right? So you guys will need to be in a league that's really going to, you know, kind of give you the prominence those sort of moves deserve, right? So
I honestly don't know. I'm not involved in that whole back end part of Splice. But I'm sure Marty will be dealing with that, whatever that is. Mm. But yeah, so for right now, all we know guaranteed for sure 100% is ESL Pro League. All right. So we'd have to do our best in that.
So let's talk about this thing. I said before you came on, I said I might bring up some awkward shit.
Sure.
You all right with awkward shit?
I love awkward shit.
Okay. Well, obviously Splice, you know, it's weird, actually. I have a strange relationship with your owner.
He told me.
Yeah, so
I didn't realize.
no, it's the thing. So when he first came into the scene, like I think he talked to Thorin or something about doing some columns over there, and he wanted to talk to me about some stuff, you know, just helping him get the lay of the land and understand it. So I was super friendly to him. Like, I thought he was a cool guy. And then that thing happened at the major where you guys got upset over the timers. The defuse timers. You remember that shit?
No, yeah, that was at the minor.
And, you know, like, I just made the point that the entire game had been played like that, so nobody was at a disadvantage. Should they have been the right ones? Obviously. But he, like, was going off on Twitter saying it's a disgrace. Because remember, you lost that last round.
Because of the bomb timer.
Yeah. But equally, my point was, think of all the rounds you'd won because...
But we had let them know, and they chose not to change it till after the match.
Yeah. So,
was fucking ridiculous. As soon as you let them know, they should cancel the match and fucking restart it. So it should have never got to that point. It was annoying because we had let them know, and then they had said, okay, well, I'll just play out anyway. And then we lose because of it. And it was like, are you fucking kidding me?
But equally, my point here is, Davey, this is like cognitive dissonance, right? Because all the other rounds that you definitely won rounds because the timer had been that way as well.
We didn't. We went back and watched the VOD.
You did, though.
Did you go back and watch it?
Kinda.
No, you're lying. You didn't go back and watch it.
I didn't go back and watch it meticulously. We did. I'll show them. I'll show them all. I didn't do that.
We
did.
No. We went back and watched it. And on RT side, there was never a round where we had won because they ran out of time defusing the bomb. Never happened once.
Yeah,
on
but our... because they knew they had X amount of time, they made moves and pushes. And, you know, it's too big a thing to just pinpoint down to, like, well, they didn't run out of time.
I understand. All I'm saying is they fucked up big time.
Yeah, it was definitely a fuck up.
Yeah,
definitely a fuck up. But what you can't do is, like, okay, for me, a level playing field is that even if something's wrong and fucked up, it affects both teams.
But see, I don't like that logic though, because could you imagine if you're playing professional ice hockey, right? And you're I say ice hockey for the Europeans.
Yeah, no, I just say
hockey. I understand. And
it still means nothing to me. It's a Brit, right? We don't play that shit. So fuck you.
So, and let's say the ice is just fucking shit. It's like, it's bumpy like this. And you say, well, but it affected both teams fairly. Like, no, that's not an acceptable reason for this to be fucked up. You have a job.
All the time.
It does. And it's not an excuse.
People in Europe, right? They often say, you know, in the European Championship, or the Champions League, as it's called now, they go and they play these, like, dog shit teams in the group stages in dog shit parts of the world where they don't have the infrastructure, and they're playing on pitches that are just like a fucking quagmire, and they're saying, we're at a disadvantage because we're a better team, and they're used to playing on this shit week in and week out. Well, nobody says, actually, yeah, fuck it, let's abandon this game and invalidate this result. People just say, yeah, it's shit for everyone.
But just because that's what people do doesn't mean that's the right way to handle it.
Oh, absolutely.
There should be a standard. And especially when you know the rules, you're a minor that's for a Valve major qualifier. You should have the proper fucking rules. Exactly, right? Like that, like you, like, this is a Valve event. You should have the proper fucking rules in the server. And if you don't, and we let you know that you don't, fix it. And it's not like...
But the owner, Marty, was like, fucking going ham, dude. He went ham. Beyond ham, though.
I honestly didn't see what he said, so.
Yes, and then he like, blocked me and, like, deleted me off Skype, despite all that nice stuff I did. Because I said to him, this is what I said, right? This is true, but you tell me if this is harsh. I don't know. I don't think it's harsh.
Okay, all
right. But he said, he was, like, making the point over and over and over again. And I'm saying, yeah, but this is what a level playing field is. It affected both teams. And he's going, yeah, but... Blah, blah, blah. And I went, look, it's just... That's what it is. And it's retarded to fucking say anything other than that. This is the definition. And he was like, look, I'm not used to being spoke to like that. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to pander to you just because you got a fucking bit of money. You're never going to offer me a job. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to give you this straight dope. I'm going to tell you my fucking opinion. My opinion is you're being fucking stupid. Right, and then that was it. That was it. He just couldn't handle it. It's like rich man syndrome. They, you know, there's a saying, isn't there? Shit, who wrote that one? In the Diogenes, I think it was. In the rich man's house, there is no place to spit but in his face. You know, like, he just got so fucking instantly offended, like, immediately. It's like just unadulterated truth. And he's never spoke to me since. We'd literally had an entirely positive relationship up until that point. I just thought, come on, dude. So yeah, he got upset with me. He got upset with me. So this is the point. This is why I'm setting this up. He's probably going to hate this. He'll ask for the VOD to be expunged. But I wanted to ask. There was an incident recently. And oh, yeah. Front page. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. You know what's coming, dog.
Yeah,
sorry.
I know what's coming. Sorry. No, that's fine. I don't care. I'll talk about it.
Right. So, one of the there was the CSGO team manager is a chap called Jeremy Gray. Jeremy 9000, I think, is his gamer name. Terrible gamer name.
I know. We made, yeah. Not, like why?
Yeah, what? Well, yeah. It's good. Yeah. Please keep your 4chan memes well away from it. And, he got accused of making racist comments in Twitch chat.
I wouldn't say he got accused. There was a screenshot of it. It's not really an accusation.
Okay. But equally, I would go so far as to say, like, I'm very dubious about when people throw the term racist around. I don't think that qualified, honestly, as racist. Yeah. It's in poor taste. It's arguably discriminatory.
Yeah.
But that's it, right? Certainly not racist. But whatever. People like to be histrionic when it comes to these particular
topics. Like and on that whole thing, like, I don't think, like, he didn't say that as if, like, he hates Muslims and he hates FGB, right? He just thought it was funny because he's stupid. Like, that was just a stupid fucking thing to say.
And just right? to put it into context as to what happened, he was in Twitch chat. There was an interview, I think it was for ESEA or something, and he made the joke saying, like, because there was a Muslim person on screen, you know, run away, the car's going to explode or something like that. It's poor taste. It's not
very, very poor taste. No, it's not even funny either. Like, that's the worst part, right?
If you know, definitely save the edgy humor to people like Louis C.K., Doug Stanhope, that kind of stuff. But anyway, this blew up. It went public, and it's like it was just a really retarded Twitch chat comment that could have been dealt with. You know, probably with just like, please don't say that. Sorry, mate, I won't. But it blew up on Reddit, and then we did the trial by social media thing. So what I wanted to ask was, while all this was happening and Splice was getting like this negative attention, and it's the guy who is the CSGO manager, no less.
Yeah, I know.
Was this affecting the team? Was this like an issue?
I wouldn't say it affected the team. We all just sort of were like, why? Like, why would you even say that? Like, it's not even funny. Like, if you're going to say something that is borderline racist, like a racist joke, at least make sure it's funny so that the person receiving the racist joke can be like, oh, that was pretty funny. You know what I mean?
Like
FGB is he's a nice guy. Like, he's a funny guy. He has a good sense of humor. Like I've been around him before when people have made racist jokes to him. Well, not borderline, like I said, borderline racist, right? That are actually funny. Edgy. Like, he's a good friend of mine. Edgy, sure. But they're actually funny and he can laugh it off, right? This wasn't even funny. Like, that was I think that was what was made it such a big deal, is that, like, yes, obviously it's extremely inappropriate. You shouldn't be saying that publicly, right? It's not racist, like you said. He didn't say it as in a hurtful way. Like, he wasn't trying to be hurtful towards FGB. No. It was just like, he just thought it was funny and it wasn't, and he shouldn't have said it, and he knows that, and that's sort of where it is. I wouldn't say it affected the team a lot, but we did feel embarrassed, you know, that it was like Splice's CSGO manager, and it was just like, oh shit. Like,
was there any backlash aimed at the team at all? Like, any of the individual players?
Not that I know of. I didn't receive anything being like, why are you harboring a racist? You know, like, nothing like that. Like, I didn't receive anything negative about it. I don't think any other players did either, actually. It was Orc and Jeremy who got the brunt of it.
Yeah, and I guess it was mitigated quite well, because obviously, you know, Marty came out and did a video and just said they won't tolerate that, and that the dude had been fined, and the money would go to an anti-discrimination charity. I mean, I think it's interesting, you know, there's a lot that's wrong with CS still, and yet I do increasingly see us doing these, like, maneuvers that are more in line with big businesses than are actually in line with small game, you know, not to say small in a disparaging way, but, you know, just small gaming organizations. Like, even the biggest multi-gaming organization is a small business by comparison to a Microsoft or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, we've seen this before with, like, Freakazoid, right? In the fucking bullying seminar.
Yeah, that was kind of like, I guess I can kind of see that from both point of view. Like, he's telling a guy who's uncomfortable living in North America. Everyone knows he's uncomfortable living here, telling him he has no friends. Like,
but
that's not the nicest thing to do. But at the same time, it's like, fucking grow
Simple's
up. Like, how old
a big
are we?
Boy.
Right? Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Right?
Like, how old are we? Like, and Simple wasn't like sitting in bed crying about that. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't fucking care. Like, it's like he was saying, like, why are you talking to me? Like, just stop talking. Like, you know, like, who cares? Like, that got blown out of proportion.
Yeah, and I think there's like a real, you know, worry that, you know, this is kind of constantly happening all the time. Like it's this is what really worries me most of all, is that these players that are coming through, they now have unprecedented levels of attention.
Yeah.
Like unprecedented levels. You've got millions of people potentially at any given point watching you play, watching what you type on a server, watching you stream.
I only have like 15,000 Twitter followers, and I get like 4 million impressions a month on my Twitter, right? It's 4 million people looking at what I'm saying on Twitter every month. And I have barely any followers. Imagine what people like nothing with 175,000 followers get.
Just imagine, like, you don't even need to do it yourself. Somebody could, like what we saw with Shinobi in Complexity, right? With Flood.
Yeah?
Someone else is streaming and just opens up a fucking Steam chat log, right? And you get fucked that way. Now you're like, fuck, I've got to answer for this, you know? So it's like, it's
be really... Be careful what you say, man.
Yeah, you got to be, right? So I guess that would be the next question. Given that Splice seemed to do a pretty good job of keeping a lid on that, you know, have you guys been given like any fucking media training, or you know, has Marty kind of given you the talk?
So before I quit university, I was doing a double major, and one of them was actually media. So it was communication and media was like the major. So I was actually have pretty good idea on how to handle media and interviews and all this sort of stuff, and be careful what you say. I know how to say things in a certain way so that you don't offend anyone, right? Like, just sort of, and then sometimes I just don't give a fuck and I'll just say shit that I know is going to offend people, because you can't fucking say anything without offending people these days. And Marty has been helpful in the sense he says, like, look, if you ever need help with anything, we have these social media people who work for us. You can ask them. Here's their contact information. If you want to ask somebody before you say anything, just to make sure, contact them, ask them, make sure everything's okay. You can have them edit your stuff if you want. We have people who can help you with all of this. So he hasn't like signed us up for any like, you know, media training seminars or anything. But if anything we've needed help with on that end, he's been willing to help us with. Mm.
So let's wrap it up. Sam's just messaged me. He said we've already gone over an hour. It's actually flown by. You're way more talkative than the average. I usually have to dig a lot deeper to get stuff out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But this has been good. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna throw you. I'll just throw you under the fucking bus.
Under the bus.
Yeah. All the way in there. So you've got an injury at the moment, haven't you?
No, you can't do this to me.
I'm doing it to you.
No, you can't. No. We talked about this. You said you wouldn't.
Yeah, but now I realize this is going to make you seem way cooler. Everyone's going to watch this. It is. Everyone's going to watch this, and they're going to say, "This, hey, Davey's really fucking cool."
No, they're not.
They are.
That's not what they're going to think. No one's going to say that.
They are definitely going to think this. So you're currently rocking an injury, right? Because you're a hockey player.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah, I guess.
You've got an injury, haven't you, dude?
I mean, I'm not like injured. You know, I have something going on.
Is it in the jaw area or something? You were saying you were a little bit worried about like people might think you had a lisp, but you don't have a lisp.
No, I don't have a lisp. No.
So.
All right. So I've already told Richard about this, because before the show I was deciding what I should do. If you hear me talking with a little bit of a lisp during this thing, I probably should have said it at the beginning so people that didn't watch all the way till the end don't think I have a lisp. But
that's the cool thing. Now everyone's going to be like, they've gone through the entire show. Look, it doesn't even sound that bad. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Dude, like it does while I'm talking. There's certain words where I'm just like, after I'm done talking, I'm just like, fuck, like that sounded so bad.
Like, you just got to play it off. Like, say you got, you know, jaw strain from eating too much pussy or something.
yeah, that's what it happens. Yeah.
You'd be amazed, Sam.
You'd be amazed how dirty my apartment is right now, because I have not had girls over here in such a long time that my apartment is so messy that I haven't had to clean it. Like,
come on, drop the injury. Come on.
All right. So when I was younger, I got into a hockey fight. One of my teeth got knocked out. I had a temporary implant in my mouth for my whole life, since I was like 12 years old, like since the tooth got knocked out. And So I've had a temporary implant in there, and then on Thursday I'm actually having the surgery to have the permanent implant put in. I had a bone graft surgery about 6 months ago to fill in bone in my upper gums so I could put the pipe in. Anyways, so I have a fake tooth right here, but because it's just like temporary, because I just got the temporary implant removed like on Monday, like yesterday, I have like a retainer that has a fake tooth in it. So if I want to talk with the tooth in, I have to talk with the retainer in my mouth. So I kind of sound like I have a lisp.
Come on.
But
out with it. Get it out.
I can take it out.
There it is.
And then I don't have a tooth right there.
Mate, have you seen fully wrecked him as well? That's not, he's like, oh,
there's no wrecking in.
He's like, oh, I don't want him to know I've got this fake tooth.
So like, I feel so self-conscious when I smile. Like, this is gonna turn into like a meme. Like, just like,
I'm gonna paste this in the group chat. Sam, I want you to bring this up and do a side by side.
Oh, Goon. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, here we are.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I knew you would think you'd understand. This is all complicated. This is positive. I've got you can't really see it. I got a little chipped tooth down here. It got chipped diagonally. I've got one missing up here. I got knocked out.
Well, that's all the way back there, though. You're fine. Mine's right next to the front tooth. Yeah, like, it's unavoidable.
Not anymore. But look, it's the exact same tooth that is missing. Is on it? The fucking Goon. Yeah, we're probably showing it right now.
I can't believe you've seen Goon, man. That's awesome. I love that fucking movie.
I have a lot of free fucking time on my hands. So look, man, you may place it back if you want, but look, don't be self-conscious.
It's too late
about
now. It's already over now. My career's already over.
We'll get you back on the show when you've got a full grill again.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you going to get silver ones?
No, I actually have a diamond one that's going in. I used all the splice money and I got a diamond one and it's going to be going in on Thursday. So hopefully it looks well. I'm hoping that it actually reflects light. You know how in the movies, like when they do like that thing and it's like, ding. Yeah. I hope mine actually, that's what I was going for.
I hope so.
So hopefully that happens.
It'll trigger me because I miss Kimbo Slice still. So it'll, just rest in peace, Kimbo. That's what we need to start saying at the end of the show, I think. Well, look, anyway, we'll definitely wrap it up here. I'm super psyched. Because I think Machine Gun's a great player and somebody that I've been dying to see play at a higher level of competition. Hopefully he can deliver. Thank you for rescuing Crucial from Lowland Lions.
Anytime. Rescue that kid anytime. It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And the UK scene. Because here's the funny part. So we've had conversations with Crucial. And when he goes to the iSeries event, and for people that don't know, iSeries is a small UK LAN. He like gets proper like, I just want to win, man. Like,
That's how he is.
It's like, unbelievable.
Like when we were interviewing players, it was just like, okay, like, so what are your goals? What do you want? He's like, I just want to win everything. That is my goal. Like, I don't have like this thing of like, oh, I really want to like qualify for a major, or like I'd like to do well at a major qualifier. Like that's what some players were giving us, or I just want to do my best, you know, like stuff like that. He was just like, no, I just want to win everything. Like that is what I want.
Just a fucking legend sweating over an iSeries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then of course, Asilian as well, a kid that I watched him come through.
We forgot to talk about that.
Which bit did we miss? Oh, yeah, the bit we made a note of.
Sam. Yeah,
right, Sam.
Got distracted by the fucking Goon.
So the original plan was to just get Crucial and Machine Gun and play with Jason R. And then the night before, Asilian was supposed to sign with, or supposed to like make his, he rejoined the XSK team and they were going to do something and he was gonna commit to them like 100%. And the night before that, he actually messaged me. He's we have a mutual friend, and he messaged and he was like, hey, like, are you guys looking at players? Like, would you be interested in picking me up? And we were like, well, like, we kind of have our roster set right now, like this and this, but like, you know, let's talk anyway. So we talked for quite a bit, and at the end of it, I went to Aria and I was just like, look, like, I don't know, like, this is a big change now, because when you're bringing in two players, you're adding two players to a team, right? Like, we already have us three, we're the core of the team, you're adding two new players to the team, you're adding on to the team. When you're replacing three players, this is a whole new team now, right? Yeah. Even just that one player difference is the difference between adding two players to a team and making a new team. Because what we've done is we made a new team, right? It's practically an entirely new team. So it was a big decision, and me and Arya, we talked about it, and Marty, we talked about it with him, and then we had all sort of decided that, like, we think this is worth the risk, mainly because we have Crucial, who doesn't have a lot of big, he has, like, no big league experience, very few LAN experience, and no big LAN experience, right? Machine Gun, he has decent LAN experience, and the only big event they went to was like IEM Katowice, so very low LAN experience. Acilian is someone who's played in the top tier of European CS for a long time, right, for a couple of years now. He played in the Pro League, done all that stuff. He's gone to big LANs, right? He's done well on LAN. His teams have done well on LAN. And so we decided that it was worth it to make like a whole new team and bring in another player from Europe, because he had the winning mentality. He was extremely motivated, and he had the experience that we thought would be useful when you're bringing in players with no experience or very little experience. So we thought that would be really useful, and we know he can help out on the tactical side. So between Arya, Acilian, and Professor Chaos, we have no excuse for shitty tactics at this point, right? Like, we have three players who can in-game lead, who are good with tactics, all the stuff. And then between me, Crucial, and Machine Gun, we have insane fragging power. So our team is built really well now, and we thought that that move was worth it. And so in a matter of like 24 hours, we had to cut Jason, which was really, really sad, because that he was supposed to be part of the team, right, originally. And then it was decided.
Yeah, that must have been, oh yeah, I can't wait to play with Machine Gun.
Oh, dude, I know. It felt so bad to surprise, do, honestly. I still feel sick about it, having to do that. That really sucked, but it was all within a space of like 24 hours. It was like, okay, you want to join? Okay, 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 okay. All right, let's do it. Sign him. Cut Jason. Awesome, man.
I'm super psyched as well. Acilian's a great kid, like really
awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, really.
Our honestly. Whole team. All
and
of
I, you know, look, I don't know if it'll happen straight away, but I hope you guys tough it out and give it a good, you know, the good 3 to 6 month sweet spot before we even make any knee jerk decisions from now on. I think you can definitely be a positive force in North America, even though you're barely a North American team at all now.
Like, we're like the first like world team now.
Yeah, this is it, man. You're like a budget phase. But that's not a bad thing. Obviously you've got to get going and get some rest before you get your tooth put in and everything else that's going to happen in the next few days. Do you have to do any shout outs to any sponsors or anything like that?
Just huge shout out to Splice and all of our sponsors for helping us out with this. Huge shout out to Marty for making all this possible. Super helpful through the entire process.
Tell him to unblock me. Tell him to fucking man up and unblock me. Stop being a pussy.
Okay.
Pass that on.
I'll just like send him this clip of the
just stop being a fucking
just like
pussy.
Marty, dude. Like,
if you want to hang with Richard Lewis, you're gonna get. He's gonna say some shit from time to time. That's just how it works.
All right. So yeah, huge shout out to him for being extremely helpful through this whole thing. Huge shout out to Jason and Abe and Professor Chaos. Jason and Abe for playing with us for so long. You know, we accomplished a lot together as a team, as friends, as family. So huge shout out to them. And I guess that's it.
Right,
there'll be someone I forget, and they'll just be like, "Man, what the fuck?" Like,
you don't need to name all the friends and family. Like, say, you're not getting an award just yet.
Yeah, that's okay.
But what I'll say is, I've known Davey a little bit now. He's still one of the newer CS people that I've met. I think he's a real cool guy. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. He is a guy that will tweet his thoughts, despite being. A pro. It's at DaveyCSGO, at DaveyCSGO. Get there. Let's bolster him. This guy should have at least the same amount of followers as me. It's a goddamn tragedy. But thanks to you for coming on, man. I know lots of people are gonna see that you are actually a fucking cool guy and not just another one of those nameless, faceless entities in North American CS.
I'm so happy.
and Sam, you've done a good job, mate. You had one thing to do. Well, two things. You brought up the goon. That was good. But
no, you didn't even know it. I fucked that up.
Did you fuck that up?
I didn't adjust the overlay, so when I went back, it was just our Skype log. Don't worry, nothing bad. That'll be edited. I'll just put your face on top of the chat log and pretend like it's
You better add. Let me just have a look you're saying it's nothing bad. It's all the private stuff we were talking about.
No, it doesn't show that. It's just the last like 4 messages I sent you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so everyone will know how much Crucial earns.
No. Not that. No, not our scout. Our scout chat. The personal one.
God, that's even worse. Like, holy shit.
Luckily, that's... all the badness is about 10 messages up.
Yeah, bloated head over that, I think. So, thanks a lot for coming on, Davey. All
yeah,
the
best no problem,
to
man.
Splice team. I'm sure everyone's psyched to see how you all do. Thanks to everyone for watching this VOD. We're going to try and be back doing ones a bit more regularly. I know I keep saying that. We do have the studio built. We've got a studio area for me now over in the E-League offices. We just haven't had time to get there and use it yet. This has been way more time efficient. But we're going to change that. We're going to get in there and do some proper shows. And, of course, just stay tuned to the YouTube channel. And we will see you on the next one. Peace.